I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It is time for another edition of the sports page, the Friday edition, because we've shifted gears and we're now around 8:06 on Fridays. And joining me on the sports page this morning is Kyle Erickson. Morning, Kyle.
Morning, John.
How you doing over there? You staying warm?
Hanging in there, yeah. Waiting for the January thaw that doesn't seem like it's going to arrive anytime soon.
Yeah, but you can take solace in knowing that tomorrow's going to be like 2 minutes and 21 seconds longer than today's. So at least we're going to...
Every little bit helps.
So you're the big fisherman. Are you like... Is this a painful time of year for you, or do you ice fish, or you're just dreaming of the bass boat being launched?
It gets to be a long winter. I used to ice fish a lot and love getting out in early ice, you know, being one of the first ones out on the lake. And that's a young man's game, I tell you, because when it's thinner ice and you can't drive a vehicle out on it, I would have to haul all my gear in a sled for sometimes a mile and a half or 2 miles to get to the spot that I wanted to fish. And at almost 46 years of age, that just doesn't appeal to me so much anymore.
You know, a couple of years ago, I went out with watched a young man fish without no canopy, nothing around, just sitting on a stool, and it was cold. And when he catches a fish, you know, he reels it in with his bare hands on the, removes the fish. I just thought, there is no way this can be fun, but it must be. And I'm sure some people don't think hitting a golf ball in 85-degree weather is fun either. So I guess to each his own.
Take all kinds.
Okay, let's start off with some bad news. The Gophers women just got throttled yesterday. Throttled by Iowa. And that's pretty rough to take when you're just trying to turn the corner. Did you see that, Kyle?
They gave up over 100 points. Iowa is a good team. They're ranked in the top 25, kind of toward the bottom end of it, but not a world beater. But yeah, that's not a fun outcome when you're trying to rebuild a program. And they're like the men's team. They're not going anywhere this season, it doesn't look like. And I'm kind of looking down the road to next year when Coach Whalen has what's supposed to be a really top-shelf recruiting class coming in and hoping they'll be able to restock the cabinet, so to speak, for the next few years.
Now, I know Lindsay Whalen has got, I think she's got the number 10 in the country rated recruiting class, and you only hope that, you know, you wonder what a superstar, you know, recruit sees when they see a team get beat by 56. Do they say to themselves, man, I don't know if I want to go there, or... Man, I want to go there and I want to turn that program around, because things have changed so much these days. People pull out of their commitments. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think a recruit would think?
You know, I don't know if that would be anything that would sway a basketball recruit. Where you see a lot of student athletes jumping ship is in Division I football more than anything. You see it some in men's basketball too. But, you know, Coach Whalen has an impeccable resume as a player. A lot of charisma, a lot of energy, which goes a long ways toward putting together good recruiting classes. And I don't think that one really ugly game is going to dissuade recruits from coming. If they lost 4 or 5 in a row by 50 points, that might give them pause. But one real bad game, I don't think will do too much.
They scored 3 points in the third quarter. That's almost impossible to do. But you got to give Iowa credit. What makes me ask that question, is, Kyle, now the Minnesota Vikings are looking for a coach and a general manager. And one of the hot prospects was the Dallas coach, offensive coordinator, who is this young guy. And then all of a sudden, the Dallas Cowboys don't look very good in the playoffs again. And you and there was a story about it. Then does that cool off your recruitment of him?
That's a very fair question. I wouldn't have had Kellen Moore at or near the top of my list of candidates. But then again, the Vikings haven't yet called me to involve me in the process, so that doesn't carry a lot of weight. I would view it similarly. One bad game, I don't think should make that much difference. It's certainly not Kellen Moore's fault that Dallas played a really sloppy game. It's definitely not Kellen Moore's fault, I don't think, that Dak Prescott decided to run the ball with 14 seconds left and no timeouts and cost the Cowboys one or maybe even two chances at throwing the ball into the end zone. I think Moore will probably land a job somewhere. I don't know that it'll be with the Vikings. I would love to see a good young offensive mind like that, but maybe somebody with a little more experience, like a Josh McDaniels or somebody like that.
Let's back up. Did Dax Prescott call that play himself?
I've heard speculation both ways. It would absolutely blow my mind that there'd be an intentional quarterback draw called in that situation, but I've been surprised before. The upside of it is minimal. I mean, you'd get whatever, 10, 12 yards closer to the end zone, but then at best, you only have one play to run. If they had just run a pass play with 14 seconds left, you can get certainly two, maybe even three shots at the end zone off in that time.
Yeah.
If that play were called by Kellen Moore, then that would be coaching malpractice of the highest order.
Yeah, I'm just I was just thinking of that because if he would have decided to run and then he's thinking, oh man, I got to get down, the smart defensive play would have been just don't touch him.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they didn't want to cut it too close and let him get too far where maybe he makes a guy miss and gets all the way into the end zone. But yeah, really, really a puzzling outcome to a puzzling game where both teams played very sloppy football and nobody seemed very interested in winning it.
So is Fred Friedman on the line with us?
I'm here.
All right. So, Fred, you see a lot. We're talking about the Vikings right now, about offensive coordinator, getting coaches and stuff. And I'm a little nervous that I'm hearing way too many defensive coordinators being considered. We need someone young, don't we, or do we not? That's a kind of an offensive guru.
I want somebody young. I want somebody with fresh, innovative ideas, and I don't want somebody that's retread. and I want nobody from Dallas. I don't want anybody that worked for Jerry Jones. I don't know whether it was Moore's call or McCarthy's call or Jones family call. I don't care. I want one of those characters, and everything being equal, I definitely want somebody of color.
Yeah.
I don't mind them looking at defensive coaches because the Vikings defense, certainly in 2021 and even in 2020, was abysmal. If you're going to hire a defense-minded head coach, you got to make sure that he brings in one of those young innovators as the offensive coordinator, and
right,
you don't make the mistake the Vikings have made of hiring Norv Turner or a Gary Kubiak, who the game has passed by two decades ago.
Yeah, you watch Kansas City. They do so many innovative, creative plays. Oh my gosh, this is exciting to watch them.
But you know, if we make the mistake and hired the wrong person as general manager, and they make Spielman-type errors in signings and errors and drafting, what does it matter? You know, it's not going to matter. It's the GM, to me, is everything. And it's a lot easier to replace coaches than general managers.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's see. I want to talk another thing about pro football. Bruce Arians, the coach of Tampa.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa.
Did you see him hit the guy in the head?
Yep. $50,000 fine.
Okay, I just want to ask you, Fred, as an attorney, What would happen if the player would have turned around and hit him in the head?
He'd be fined money, too, you know?
Who would get the most?
I'll remind you folks that a legendary coach who the game had long passed
by,
on national TV, slugged an opposing player in the face on the sidelines, and he was the end of his career.
Yeah.
That was Woody Hayes.
Ohio State.
Longtime coach of Ohio State. It was the end of his career. So, Arians, same old person, elderly guy, got mad, hit one of his own players on the head. You know, he didn't want the player away from a scrum or whatever. But, NFL has a lot of trouble getting it right, guys. Yeah. A lot of trouble getting it right.
Yeah, they do. Let's go back to that play so people understand if they don't understand about the play that Dallas lost on. Time's running out. The referee has to touch the football before it can be snapped.
And they have no timeouts remaining.
Yeah, and he's trying to run between four 300-pound linemen. It's nobody's fault but Dallas's fault. You can't blame anybody on that.
Blame the refs. Can't blame the clock operator. That's all on him. And Dallas is being kind of quiet. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Whether that was on McCarthy or whether that was on the OC, Kellen Moore. I don't care. It was bad coaching, and they had far more players, far more talent, and they messed it up. They got one of the best wide receivers in football, and they threw the ball to him three times in the game.
Sounds like. Are you sure you're not talking about the Vikings?
Yeah.
So I asked Uncle Google here while you two are talking. It looks like the head coach Mike McCarthy called the play. He called the draw play and has defended it and said. They had great confidence in that situation. It's just bizarre to me. It blows my mind.
Okay, so if he's right, and he's not, but if he's right, then you go over, the quarterback goes over to the ref, whispers, we're calling a draw play, right?
Yeah.
So you can hustle downfield, so the umpire's in position to reset the ball.
Absolutely.
And by the way, that's a 60, 70-year-old rule that the umpire has to touch the ball before a new next play. That's not yesterday's rule, guys.
Yeah. Let's see. Some justice has been served. Pepe is going to be in the Twins Hall of Fame.
Yeah, how long ago should that have happened?
Oh, my gosh. We're talking Cesar Tovar.
I was surprised to learn that he wasn't. I had just kind of assumed that he was already in there, and when they put out the notice that he and Ron Gardenhire, the Twins' longtime manager, and Dan Gladden, who was a serviceable outfielder and a terrible broadcast guy, were the three inductees. I was surprised that Tovar wasn't already in.
You know what? I can claim fame that I saw Cesar Tovar play all nine positions.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We talked about this maybe 6 years ago. How could they have put Michael Kadire in the Hall of Fame before Cesar Tovar?
Yeah.
Because their statistics are not comparable.
Yeah, you could put a lot of thought into that one and come up with some bad, bad thoughts.
Yeah, okay. That is for sure. I want to ask you, I don't know if you noticed that we had a major blowout in Big Ten women's basketball where Iowa beat the Gophers by 50-some points. Greatest, biggest loss spread in Minnesota women's basketball history. Is Iowa that good, or is the Gophers that poor? What do you make of that?
Well, that's what we started the show off with, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, yeah, I don't know. We talked about, does it affect recruiting? Kyle says I don't think so. I just, like he said, it's no fun to lose by 56, and it's almost impossible to lose by 56. You just don't want to lose by 56 like three or four more times the rest of the year, or you might get recruits going somewhere else.
Yeah, I didn't like that, and I know Coach Whalen's health is not good at the moment and all that, but, that's a big spread.
Yeah.
I also saw the article about Hopkins, Minnesota women's team being the top women's program in the high school basketball in America. Guys, they got three players in the top 40 in America.
Wow.
Wow.
Speaking of women's basketball, I don't know if you read the article about the three women refereeing high school and college games on the Trib, which is rare to have a team of three I'm having one of those refs on. Macy Madsen's going to join me at 8:45 just to find out what it's like to be a female ref and being yelled at by a bunch of bums like me.
Yeah.
Triple
A. In the theme of women's basketball, too, we should note that Lucia Harris passed away a couple of days ago, and she was the first woman to be drafted by an NBA team.
I did not know anything about her. Did you all? Did you two know her about her?
I only knew the trivia questions. She was the first, you know, woman drafted. So
okay,
but that's about all. The leaps and bounds at women's basketball at all levels has grown in the last 40 or 50 years in our adult lifetimes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. Hey, back to baseball. Triple A baseball is going to have robot umps.
Really?
Yeah. Triple A baseball is going to have robot umps. Now, when they say umps, I look to be clarified, but I think it's just the home plate, you know, obviously.
Ball strikes, yeah.
And we'll find out goes. So that pretty much is if that works this year, you can bet it probably will be implemented soon.
Well, I admit it. I will definitely go and watch a game and see how that works in person. I openly admit it. You know, I'll do that. On the other hand, if there's no MLB, if there's a strike all summer, KXC's going to have to pay for my therapy.
Well, we'll read the fine print.
Yeah. Get your lawyers working on that, Jeff.
Here's my question. Is in the article they showed a robot. I certainly hope it's not a robot on the field.
No, I believe there will still actually be a human behind the plate who will signal the ball or strike call. Yeah. And there, you're going to have an umpire there anyway to deal with calls at the plate and other things that the home plate umpire has to deal with.
Right.
What happens when the robot makes an obvious mistake, and what happens when the robot goes down? Because everybody knows not our computers never fail.
No, they don't. Hey, speaking of failing, Towns has got to shut his mouth for the Timberwolves. It cost him a W the other night. And, you know, people get known for having a rotten mouth or just a whiner. And it's obvious he is. And he does get hacked a lot. But he has to stop whining. Because you know as well as I do, every ref in every league knows when they go to one place or another, whether it's high school, college, or pros, like, oh, gosh, we got to listen to this guy. He's got to shut his mouth.
Especially in close games.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter nearly as much when you're up and down 30 points. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they used to always get on one of the great characters in NBA history because he led the world in tees, technicals. That was Rasheed Wallace, who's a heck of a player.
Mm-hmm.
And Rasheed's remark is, notice, they never team me up when it's a 2-3 and 4-point game.
Yeah.
So,
Kyle, were you going to say something?
No, you're right. And unfortunately, it kind of bled over into a young superstar, Anthony Edwards, in the last game against the Hawks when he did get hacked going in for a layup and he was running his mouth at the ref and picked up two technicals and was ejected from the game in what at that point was a really, really close game.
Yeah.
And so they ended up being down their most dynamic player and had their nice little run ended, ended up losing by a dozen points to the Hawks. But, guys, I'm still bullish on the Timberwolves. My prediction of a 500 or better season and eking into a playoff spot is looking okay so far. They're one game under 500 right now. If the season ended, they would be in the seventh playoff spot. And it is absolutely clear that Anthony Edwards is going to be the third superstar that they need.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taping what you just said, Kyle, because I'm definitely going to remind you of this in May.
Speaking if you need to be reminded, that's Kyle Erickson and Fred Friedman. Fred has his banner here at KAXC. His banner's retired here, and Kyle hasn't earned his stripes yet, but maybe someday he'll get there. And I want to make
it 7 years, and I should at least get like a window decal or something.
Well, we'll give you a Fisher pin. I just want to make note that is it Naomi Osaka or is it vice versa? the tennis player that had the mental health problems. You said it right. She played yesterday. She won her first match, I think, lost her second, and was gracious and was happy and shook the person's hand. And it's good to see that her time off has done good for her. And she says she's happy and she just wants to play the game, and whatever happens, happens. And we all need to learn a little bit of a lesson from that.
Oh. Well said, John.
Okay, here we go. The senior correspondent, the theme this week is siblings. For example, the Lou brothers, Felipe, Maddie, and Jesus are famous trio brothers who played in the major leagues in the 60s and 70s. Kyle first, because I can't answer any of these. Name the trio of brothers who played in the major leagues in the 30s and 40s.
A trio of them? Huh. Well, there were two Wainers and there were two Deans. Maybe there's a third one of one of those families that I don't know about.
Tell me when you're ready. Tell me when you guys are ready.
Fire away.
Dom, Vince, and Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, sure.
There you go.
Hold on.
Boy, I didn't know it was that long ago. Okay, here's another one. This is free game. There are only siblings in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Hint, if necessary, a sister and a brother.
Got to be the Miller
and Cheryl Miller.
Yep, Reggie Miller and the push.
And Reggie was always quick to say that his sister was the better player of the two.
Yep. And Reggie is known for pushing off a lot. Okay. The sister and brother won a gold and silver medal in track and field in the 1984 Olympics. Good question.
That's a woman that has three names.
You're right.
The first and middle. Yeah. What is that name? I'm sorry. It's a three. She used her middle name all the time. Can you give me a
Jackie Joyner Kersee?
There you go.
That's it.
What was her brother's name?
I knew her. I didn't know. I guess that she had a brother that was an Olympic athlete.
Al in the triple jump. Al Joyner. I remember him.
Great question.
Oh, sure.
Great question.
Al Joyner's wife is Florence Griffin. Wait a minute. No. Al Joyner's wife, Florence Griffin Joyner, was Jackie's sister-in-law.
Yeah, Florence and Jackie are sister-in-laws, too. They're all three of them.
Oh, wow. All in the family. Yeah. Name the trio of NBA brothers whose father is in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Hint if necessary.
Wow. Is that the Shays family?
No, not
the Shayses?
No.
Whose father's in the Hall of Fame.
Name the trio of NBA.
All right, hint.
Underhand.
Of course, the Berries.
Can you name them?
Rick? No. I can't.
Kyle?
I'm drawing a blank.
Brent, Drew, and John Berry.
Yeah.
Kyle first. These brothers were major league third basemen in the 1950s and 60s and played against each other in the 64 World Series.
Oh, man. Fred, you're probably going to have to help me out
here. This is the Boyer family, B-O-Y-E-R. Kent Boyer
and Cleet.
What a great baseball name, huh? Cleet Boyer?
Holy cow.
Okay, one of these twin brothers was an all-pro running back for the New York Giants. The other was an all-pro cornerback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, one's a TV personality, the Barber brothers.
Yep.
Oh, Tiki and Rondé Barber.
You got it. Yep. Kyle first, I'll put you on hold, Fred. These twin brothers starred at Indiana University and played 12 seasons in the NBA.
Oh, is that where the McCray brothers went? I can't remember.
Rondé went to Louisville. You ready, John? Not yet?
Yeah, I think Kyle, there's no chance Kyle's going to
get it. Yeah, no, go ahead, Fred.
I saw these guys play in high school from Indianapolis Manual Technical High School. These are Tom and Dick Van Arsdale.
Yeah. Good one. I remember those guys. Professional tennis playing brothers. Hint, if necessary.
Oh, man.
Professional tennis player brothers. Are you kidding me?
Professional.
Are these the guys from lacrosse? Yeah, this is the clue. You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, John McEnroe. And Patrick McEnroe.
Yeah, good clue, huh?
That guy's That guy still does advertisements on TV.
Yeah.
Okay, Kyle, first. These Baseball Hall of Fame brothers were known as Big Poison and Little Poison. They combined for five.
Paul and Lloyd Wehner.
Oh, good.
Very
job.
Good.
They combined for 5,611 hits, the most by brothers in the major league history. Whoo! The Lou brothers totaled 5,094 hits. The three DiMaggio brothers totaled 4,853. Okay, this is get your hand on the buzzer now. This is an easy one. These brothers each played for two Super Bowl winning teams. Oh, pressure I put
on. Each played for two. Each played for two. Two brothers. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Hints? I don't know. Each played for two. That means they had to play for the Patriots. Patriots.
New York Giants. Indianapolis Colts. Denver
Broncos. Peyton and Eli Manning.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. This is for Fred only. These brothers were battery mates for the Cardinals in the 40s.
Oh, that's really hard. Walker and Mort Cooper.
Are you being facetious, or was that was hard?
That was hard. That was really hard.
What took you 8 seconds?
Cardinal Walker and Mort Cooper.
These two brothers, father, Bob, and grandfather, Ray, were also major leaguers.
The Boone family.
Brett and Aaron Boone.
Three generations.
Buddy and Gus were their father and grandfather.
And Brett Boone's one of the kids, right? The grandkids.
This is a new question. Buddy and Gus were their father and grandfather.
Yeah.
Bell.
Nice. David and Mike Bell. Mike was the Twins coach who died last year at age 46. And but not least, these brothers had 539 major league wins between them, the most wins by brothers in baseball history.
It's either got to be the Perrys or the Necros. Has to be one.
I'd guess the Necros.
It's the Necros. Wasn't Joe the one that hit the sandpaper with the Twins?
I saw
that on TV late at night in Anaheim. That was awesome.
And he dropped it. Like, you don't think the TV audience and everybody in the crowd saw it?
That was brutal.
Hey, that was a good sports page, you guys. You stay warm and watch a little football this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Be well, folks.
All right. That is the Sports Page with Kyle Erickson and Fred Friedman. Thanks for listening to the Sports Page. It's kind of fun, especially seeing your correspondents researching severe, difficult trivia questions each week from his home office in Cohasset, Minnesota.